The first lesson for today is from Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. The second lesson for today is from Luke chapter 12. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action, and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I don't have my staff, so I'm going to stand down here. You know, at Carroll, they got special podiums just for me that have a kickdown stool. And I have to tell you, that's the first time that Ben has been old enough to sit through a children's sermon. So that was a very special moment for me as a mom. So thanks for sharing that with me. Can you all hear me okay? Super. So I got to meet this congregation right about 2 years ago now, just as you were entering a season of discernment. And so we spent 3 weeks together talking about discernment. Discernment as a Christian practice, as a spiritual practice. And that first Sunday of the three, we talked about discernment is not just about how we make choices, but it's about aligning our hearts with God's intention. Did you put my sign up there? Thank you. Aligning our hearts with God's intentions for us. And then the second week, we talked about prayer as the fundamental mode for discernment, that in order to hear God, we have to actually be listening to God. And so opening ourselves, our hearts, and our minds to God through prayer, particularly contemplative prayer, is a key to discerning how God is moving in our world and in our lives. And then the third week, we talked about discernment in the group, both the fact that we as a faith community, as the body of Christ, need to be working together to discern how God is leading us, but also that we need each other, that in order to live full and faithful lives in Christ, we need to be able to bounce ideas off of each other. We need to be able to listen together. We need to be able to check in with our elders and with our spiritual mentors and teachers and with one another in general for all the different perspectives that people bring for each of us in our own journey. So this week, we're going to have, 2 years later, session 4 on discernment. And I want to specifically talk about something that I may have mentioned a little bit before, which is spiritual indifference. Now, that sounds really bad, right? Indifference is not a word we typically use in a positive way. We never want to be indifferent to suffering. We never want to be indifferent to God's people or things that are happening in the world. But when we're talking about spiritual indifference within discernment, we're actually talking about openness. We're talking about being open to the different outcomes or the different paths we may follow, so that instead of predetermining our own path, we're listening for God's leading at each step of the journey. Spiritual indifference is a really difficult concept in certain ways. And even more so, it's very difficult to practice. When I teach this at Carroll, I always do so on a one-on-one basis, because to grab hold of spiritual indifference takes a certain amount of spiritual maturity. It takes a willingness to be self-aware about our own desire for control, our own needs to be in a predictable routine, our own longing to master our destiny, which is a very natural human desire. Spiritual indifference is a posture in life. And actually, let me invite you to take your hands and hold them like this. Spiritual indifference is a letting go. It is, as one of my spiritual mentors put it, holding lightly those heavy things in life, knowing that God is holding them on our behalf. And it's an openness to being pulled or moved in the direction that God would have us move. Do you feel the difference between this and this? Do you know that difference inside of yourself when your heart does this versus this? Spiritual indifference allows us to use holy imagination to begin to think about different paths because, let's face it, we're human and we need to make plans, right? But to be able to imagine where those paths may lead and to free ourselves from particular outcomes. But almost like a dance, to be able to step here in life and back and step a different direction and back and see what unfolds. So when I talk about this with students at Carroll, things that come up, for instance, are you don't know what major you want to choose? Well, why don't you take all of your core classes and then decide on your major once you know what you want? So there's that laying of a foundation, cultivating multiple options without boxing oneself in. You don't know where you want to retire? Travel. Try places out. Check Florida out in the summer. Check Wisconsin out in the winter before you move. Don't know if you want to go to graduate school or you want to get a job. Apply to multiple jobs. Apply to multiple graduate schools. Let God close doors that you should not walk through and open doors that you should. Spiritual indifference is this posture that allows us to be ready to step where God may lead us. Now, I don't know that Abram, as a forefather of our faith, quite always got to spiritual indifference. But what we see in that long journey of Abram and Sarai, later Abraham and Sarah, is a winding path. A literal winding path for this nomadic family that moves in and out and around the Holy Land, back and forth to Egypt a couple of times, sometimes making choices that are really wonderful, and sometimes making choices that aren't so useful. But along the way, Abram and Sarai pause to check in with God. And even more so, God takes time to check in with them, to redirect them, to pull them sometimes in a different direction than they may even have intended, and to encourage them to trust. And that's what we have in the story that Tony read this morning. This is still fairly early in their journey. We know that because Abram is still Abram and not Abraham. And yet, already twice in the stories along the way, God has promised to give Abram and Sarai children, heirs, that sense that there would be continuity, something that they were building towards to pass on to the next generation. However, no baby came. And no baby's going to come for chapters and chapters more in the Bible. We all know that wonderful story where the angels show up and Sarah laughs because she thinks, at this point, there is no way I'm getting pregnant. And then, of course, Isaac eventually comes along. But they need to be reminded and redirected along the way. So in this story, Abram is kind of in a little bit of a posture of spiritual indifference. On the one hand, he's certainly open to a baby coming in their lives, and yet he's making a contingency plan. Eliezer is a servant in his household, not a natural choice necessarily for an heir, but there is no one else that he deems appropriate. So he's got two options on the table. But God takes this moment to check in with him. The language here is very particular. This is the only time in the Pentateuch, in those five ancient, most ancient books of the Bible, where the word of the Lord comes in this particular way. That phrase is used tons when we get into the prophets. But here it's distinct in the Pentateuch. This is an important moment on Abram and Sarai's journey. There's that greeting that we know well, do not be afraid, reassuring, encouraging him to trust. And then there's this vision. God brings Abram out to look at the stars in the sky. And that moment of looking at the stars is both a prediction of the number of descendants Abram and Sarai will have, but it's also a reminder. You think, Abram, that you can control your life and your destiny, but look what I have made and what I control. It's a reminder of how finite Abram and Sarai's lives and choices are, and how infinite God's control is in this world. Spiritual indifference is hard. I am terrible at it, just to own that. I like to have my plan set. I don't like to not know what my next step is. It keeps me up at night. It makes me anxious. I like to put money into my retirement plan. I like to calendar out everything that's going to happen. Being a parent has taught me life does not always work that way, as has life in general. It's extremely hard to have multiple paths and plans on the table and be open to whatever God is inviting us into. And yet we are called to have a faith like Abram's, a faith where when confronted with God's awesomeness and God's love and grace, that we will believe. And that's what the text says Abram did. He believed. He trusted in God's faithfulness. He trusted in God's faithfulness. And I don't have the text right in front of me, but that last line Tony read about, and God reckoned it to him as his righteousness. That's an odd phrase. So God reckoned it to him. God granted God's promises to Abram. Not because of Abram's righteousness, but because of God's righteousness. Because God is faithful, God chose to provide a path for them to follow. I know that this congregation, as a body, continues to be in a place of discernment with some hard choices on the table. I also know that each of us as individuals are always in a place of discerning who we are and how God is calling us to live and move and be in this world that God has made. There are different paths that we can each choose. And we don't have to know the end outcome, because the end outcome is always about being in communion with God. It's always about not holding on to our own desires and our own hopes of controlling a particular path, and holding on to the one who gifts us with a path. This is the fundamental posture of discernment. It, in some ways, is a frightening posture, but it's also a liberating posture. It's a letting go and letting God. It's the posture a child takes when coming up to his mother and saying, "Pick me up and carry me because I don't know where to go." This is a posture of being open to the movement of God in our lives. May we all learn to let go and be open to where God leads us. Amen.